In the studio, a very special guest, Karen Saunders from Native Bird Rescue on Waiheke. Karen and other volunteers have been working very, very hard over the years in the protection of our native bird populations. And she joins me in the studio to talk specifically about kaka, but also about birds in general. Karen, good morning and welcome. Thanks for giving up some of your Saturday morning. I know how precious it is.
Thank you for inviting me on the show, Greg.
You're more than welcome. So we had Hugh Ross, who's the chair of the Hauraki Gulf Forest and Birds branch, up recently before Christmas talking about kaka and the sort of, you know, slowly growing population of kaka on the island. Charles Graves' property in Onatangi, I think, was the first place where we started to notice they were actually fledging, hatching, fledging, instead of flying over the island from Hinua to Barrier and stopping on the island. And we've now got this little growing population of kaka on the island, which is wonderful. But both in Zealandia and Wellington and in Auckland and now in Waiheke, a terrible disease that affects the chicks has been identified. And it's metabolic bone disease, is that right?
That's correct.
So tell us about metabolic bone disease. And humans are involved in sort of growing this problem for kaka. How are we involved?
Metabolic bone disease is also known as humans feeding kaka. So, I mean, can you imagine how tempting that is? You know, kaka's there, you feed them human food, peanuts, cashew nuts, things like that.
Oh, look, we were on the barrier a couple of weeks ago and they're flying all around us and they're almost talking to us, and I can see how tempting it would be to feed them. But what happens when we do, Karen?
Okay, so what happens is they get used to getting the food from you, and then they'll keep coming back, and then they're gestating, so they're growing an egg inside them, and they're still eating junk food. It's like feeding a pregnant mum McDonald's.
Yeah, not a good idea, in fact.
No, and Coca-Cola, you must have had Coca-Cola on top of that.
Yep, so Coca-Cola and McDonald's.
Yep, so then they lay the egg and the chick hatches, and they feed the chick. They regurgitate junk food.
Yeah, right.
So that chick grows up, you know, McDonald's and Coca-Cola, and the bones don't form properly. So you've got severe deformities, you know, right through all the bone structure in the body. The beak can be twisted.
Now, you've been trying to save a chick on the island that's been suffering this, and we lost that chick, right?
Yeah. Oh, God. That was just incredibly heartbreaking, eh?
Yeah.
What happened was Forest and Bird, Hugh Ross and Shrin had been in doing some kaka nest monitoring.
Yeah.
And the chicks had fledged, and Shrin noticed the beak was twisted. So they got some photos and came to see me.
Yeah.
And straight away I said, we've got to catch it, it's disabled, it's not going to survive in the wild.
Yeah.
So we went in on New Year's Day, and sorry to everyone in the valley, they got woken up by screaming kaka. And, you know, the poor thing was so broken boned and deformed, we just knocked it out of the tree, caught it. But then the whole walk up the hill, we were attacked by screaming, like grief-ridden parents. Mm. It was pretty...
Was this in Mackenzie Reserve or...?
In Te Araha Valley.
Te Araha Valley, right. Okay.
It was pretty distressing, actually. We all got out of there, our hearts were racing, going, oh, my God, I hope kaka don't remember faces or people. Because we'll be unpopular.
You will be, but for good reason. I mean, that chick wasn't going to survive, was it?
No.
So basically we're feeding the kaka the parents, they're regurgitating the wrong food for their chicks, and this is actually causing bone deformities in the newborns.
Yeah. So what happens, the deformities are so bad, is when those chicks fledge, and they stay in the nest a long time, so they fledge, and their first flight, they can break, I don't know, 8 or 12 long bones.
Oh,
so they have
all
of these fractures. That's why he was so easy to catch, you know.
Yeah, right.
He's got broken bones. So not only can they not find food and survive, but they're in, you know, excruciating pain.
Yeah. So they've had a problem with this metabolic bone disease in Zealandia, which is the Wellington sanctuary. And I read about that. And then they've also discovered the same problem going on in Auckland and now Waiheke. So is it something that spreads, or is it just simply we can stop this by not feeding birds?
It's pretty avoidable. We just, stop feeding kaka.
So they don't spread it from bird to bird?
No, no.
So it's just simply because the parents been fed human food?
Yeah, it's just simply junk food.
So in fact, to deal with this, we need a massive information campaign. Is that...
Yeah, we plan to do that. We're going to Native Bird Rescue. I'm also on the Forest and Bird Committee.
Yep.
And we'll work closely together. We're hoping to find one volunteer that will run the campaign on Waiheke. for the whole year.
The kaka campaign?
Particularly kaka.
Yeah.
I mean, we have suddenly got, I think, 5 nests that we're monitoring this year. That is a huge population growth.
Oh, it's massive. There were none when I came here. The other day I saw one flying over Artworks.
Oh, look. Do you know how I started Native Bird Rescue?
Yeah.
Hugh Ross came to me one day, this is 3 years ago, and he said, I'm doing kaka nest monitoring. Will you come and be a monitor? And I was like, nah, I haven't got time. He went, go on, go on. He talked me into it. So, okay.
He's very persuasive, Mr. Ross.
He is. So I did my 2 2-hour shifts a week or whatever it was. And yeah, while I was doing that, I went on a Bird Rescue 101 course.
Right.
It sort of sparked my interest. So that's how Native Bird Rescue was actually born, was with
And when was that? How long ago was that?
3 years ago.
Yeah, because the Pretty profile much. Of the organisation has gone up and up and up as far as I can see. And that's just your hard work. So on behalf of the island, thank you, because the stories that we hear about your work are quite incredible. And the dedication that you guys have to this, I mean... Yeah, so you're looking for somebody who might run the kaka campaign. Listeners, anybody out there with enough time on their hands, passion for birds, and what else do they need?
I think they need to be creative, consistent, and very dedicated.
Yeah.
It's not just come and do it for a month. This will be a, you know, regular routine, just get it into people's psyche.
Because we don't want this newly established population to go. That would be just tragic.
Do you know, I have a lot of friends and I know a lot of people who have done a huge amount of predator control on that northern coastline. Because we've also got the grey-faced petrels there. We've got the little blue penguins.
Yeah, Hugh was telling me that he's been monitoring a breeding site.
Yeah, it's pretty
of
awesome.
Of the petrels, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so all of that work has gone in. And I mean, we're talking, you know, thousands and thousands of hours. And then to have something so simple and avoidable.
Well, it's so avoidable.
Destroy. Yeah. We know of 2 nests now that we've lost this year.
Wow.
We might have more.
Do they breed one at a time, 2 at a time, 3?
2 or 3.
2 or 3,
yeah,
okay. So a nest isn't a huge number of birds. It's 2 or 3. And if you lose 2, that's... Yeah. A whole year gone, right, basically?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's get this out there. Spread the word, don't feed the kaka. What about feeding other birds? It's tempting, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm just going to go
back. Yeah, please, slightly. Please. Yep, sure.
Now, a lot of people say to me, can we feed the kaka the right food?
Yeah, good question.
Yeah, I'm getting this all the time. And people are also saying, I want scientific proof of why not to feed these kaka. Like, you know, why should I stop?
Well, perhaps you should just Google... killing kaka with kindness, and then you're... No, seriously, that's what I did on Karen's recommendation, and it's a Guardian story that comes up, and it explains exactly why. But anyway, please go ahead.
Okay, so you could also research and feed kaka the correct diet with a lot of research and, you know, paying the money out. But, okay, what happens is you get them to come into human areas where humans inhabit. You go away for the weekend and they go, oh my God, there's no food. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
Let's just like chew on this lead nail. Okay.
Yeah.
So they get huge amounts in Wellington now, lead poisoning.
Right.
Yeah, Kia in the South Island get it all the time.
Well, they get it from, you know, people think it's funny when they pull the car apart, but it's not funny.
No,
it's just bad for them.
For them, lead is sweet. So they're going to go around your whole house until they find the lead because you haven't left them any food. Okay.
Yeah, right.
And then you're also exposing them to, you know, pets, cats, dogs,
indeed.
Dogs especially. We, in the same area and the same time last year, we went in and rescued a kaka chick that a dog had killed. Or sadly, it was died at the vet surgery.
Right.
Yeah.
So even the right food, don't do it.
No.
You're bringing them to places where they don't forage, where they don't feed naturally, and if you're not there one day, you're just creating hazards and dangers for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and what about birds in general?
Our message, Native Bird Rescue, we say don't feed the birds,
Stop. Okay, don't feed the birds, full stop.
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's always somebody like me who says, what about a bit of honey water for the tui?
Oh, no.
No, okay.
Okay. At the moment, this is for the people that want the scientific proof, they are doing research in Auckland on sugar water or honey water for the tuis, and they're doing specifically on tuis.
Yeah.
Now, I disagree with this sugar water thing, and the reason DOC recommend it, Forest and Bird recommend it, Landcare Research recommend it, is they're trying to get people away from feeding wild bird seed. Because I don't know if you realise, but no native bird in New Zealand eats seed.
Oh, yeah, no, they're all honey and insects.
It's like a Walt Disney thing, you know.
It's like
wild bird seed, here we go.
Yeah.
So to get people away from the bread and the bird seed, they're saying put sugar water out.
Yeah,
and
right.
that was, you know, the strategy they've
used. So it was to transition people away from throwing their old Vogel's crusts out.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
The moldy bread and the... Yeah.
Which in the end only bring rats anyway, and that's bad for birds.
I know. Yeah. So they're doing that and they're still recommending it, you know, do sugar water. I disagree completely. Yeah. But I also see the effects it has.
Yeah.
So it's a bit like, do you want to feed your baby some sugar water?
Not really.
Or would you give it pure, you know, mother's
milk? Yeah, well, why compromise at all when actually there's adequate? Well, plant some native trees. That's the answer for native birds.
Yeah.
Plant some native trees.
So the makeup of nectar is quite complex and sugar doesn't. It sort of mimics it a little bit.
Yeah. But it's
so
not
what
good
happened
food.
Just before Christmas, Auckland Zoo and Josie Galbraith at the museum phoned me. They've been doing a research study on the sugar water feeders.
Yeah.
And they misnetted the tuis and one was injured. So he had a full check over and x-rays at the zoo and they said, "Will you rehab him?"
Yeah.
So we took him in. Oh my God, I've never seen such a crazy tui. We named him Hannibal Nectar. So Hannibal Nectar. He would sit in his cage, okay, and he would drink the man-made nectar, sugar water.
Yeah.
Okay, and just sit quietly, which I'd never seen a tui do before.
No, no.
Okay.
Probably problems digesting it or something.
I think he was just addicted to it.
Oh, okay.
But when it ran out and he had, you know, banana there, he had oranges, other options, he would just go crazy. He'd smash the whole cage to pieces. You could hear him next door.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you'd have to race in to stop him hurting himself. Yeah. Give him more man-made sugar.
Yeah.
He was addicted. It was really sad.
That is sad. And it shows really too, doesn't it, how much we do interfere in nature. Poorly sometimes. To wrap it up, Karen, what's going on for you guys other than tuis and kakas and stuff? You're looking for some more support and volunteers or?
Yeah, what's happened for us, we actually yesterday sadly got our first little blue penguin in from starvation effects.
And
I was reading a report the other night, we're looking at warmer waters again. So it could be quite a, I hope it's not like last year. But
it's not though, is it? It's not as bad as last year. Mind you, I'm just talking about how hard it is to sleep at night. It's not nearly as hard as last year. That doesn't actually mean the water's not also very warm. Last year we had a very warm water, didn't we? I remember some global impact.
It's going to do the same again.
Right.
We have ocean warming again this
and
year.
And so what, their food's not there? Is that what the problem?
The food is too deep.
Too deep.
For the young ones to dive that deep. So the older, stronger adults can dive deeper to get the food.
Right.
But when the surface temperature heats up, it's just no good for the babies.
Yeah.
So what's happening for us, it's been really, really exciting. We have new facilities. We have a new clinic all set up.
Where's
new critical care hospital room.
Where's that?
It's near, we're actually right next door to Whakanefa.
Okay.
We are not, I repeat, not open to the public.
No, okay.
So never, if you know where we are, don't drop in and don't tell anyone.
And don't bring hundreds of birds.
No. So we sort of man the place early mornings, you know, through to maybe lunchtime and then evenings as well. Afternoons, quite often no one's around. So it's always phone. Please phone first.
Yeah,
it's
sure.
By appointment.
And the phone number is at the top of the Waiheke community page.
Yep.
So there's no excuse for not calling Karen when you have an issue with native birds.
Mm.
And you're happy to give people advice, take sick birds, take injured birds.
Yep.
What else do you do?
Mm-hmm. We don't at this point take baby birds.
Okay.
Yep. Simply because we don't have the facilities or the manpower.
Yeah.
To feed a bird every 15 minutes.
Right, of course. Yeah.
Now, the chairperson of our charitable trust is Brian Gartrell. He's been a wildlife vet all of his career.
Kia ora, Brian.
40 years.
Yep.
He's an amazing man. Now, with our new facilities, what's happened is we are now sort of asset rich and cash poor.
All right.
So we are extremely urgently needing incoming funds, basically.
Sponsors.
Yeah.
Some sponsors.
If there's a person out there, a benefactor, that would like to come and be the benefactor or the patron for Native Bird Rescue, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
I'm in a position where the end of next week I'll be working to support Native Bird Rescue.
Excellent.
And also, well, it's not excellent because I'm already, at the moment, I work 14 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Oh, my God.
So I'm going to go out and work 5 days a week, 5 hours a day to support us. So.
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, it's not excellent.
I see what you mean.
So I'm manically training two volunteers that can do urgent work.
So you're actually going out to work to fund this.
Mm.
So we need some sponsors, we need a patron, we need
donations
and all those things. And Karen Saunders is the person to talk to. Karen, thank you so much for coming in this morning. That was very interesting and informative. And I think we learned a lot about not just kaka, but bird feeding in general. Yeah. Just don't do it. If you want to feed the native birds and see them in your garden, plant some native plants. Kia ora, Karen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.